It's no mistaking from our gospel today that the gospel writer exhorts us through the words of Jesus to vigilance, to alertedness during the season of Advent, which begins today. And you notice that there's no mention of Christmas parties or gifts or Black Friday. Rather, there's a concentration on the coming of the Lord Jesus, not at Christmas, actually, according to the gospel, but when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So we concentrate today, in a way, as we prepare to commemorate his first coming, which was done in humility and poverty and hiddenness in Bethlehem, even as we are mindful of Christ's second coming in glory. Although it should be noted that our Lord does come to us in so many different ways every day. He comes to us at our death. He comes to us in the Eucharist and the sacraments. He comes to us in the crosses that each of us bear. The saints say that those who are closest to Christ, those who appreciate his coming the most, are the ones asked to bear the heaviest crosses. Even then, we keep in mind that what we are about to celebrate in just 27 days is a memorial, a commemoration of the Word of God becoming flesh, taking human existence in our time, in our living, in our existence, in our understanding of the world. That Word of God, Jesus Christ, would take flesh from the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. During the season of Advent, there is, in a particular way, a wonderful opportunity for us, if we don't let it slip by, because we become so preoccupied with so much of the non-essentials of the season, to really immerse ourselves in God's Word. To take time to really allow the Word of God, reading it through the Scripture, hearing it at daily Mass, taking time each day to pray with the Scriptures, to really drink deeply of what we are about to celebrate at Christmas. You know, we say that God is present in the world in many ways. I mentioned a few already. His presence par excellence is right behind me here in the tabernacle, in the Eucharist. It is true that God can be everywhere, but he is substantially and really present in our midst in the Eucharist. That's why, for example, as Catholics, we are not permitted, without penalty of mortal sin, to simply miss Mass and to substitute it with readings from Scripture at home, listening to Gregorian chant, and thinking about Jesus. The Eucharist draws us here. The Eucharist is why we come to Mass, to see it miraculously celebrated on this altar, and then, if we are able to receive him worthily, to do so with piety. There's another presence of Christ that often gets overlooked at Mass, and that's the presence of God in his Word. I know many people today place a very large emphasis on preaching, on homilies. In fact, if the homily is not good, many people leave Mass these days, they tell me, disappointed. And I say, well, okay, not everyone's good at preaching, but did you receive Holy Communion? Yes. Well, then what was missing? I mean, at the end of the day, no matter how good or poor the preaching is, Jesus still comes to us sacramentally present in his body and blood, soul, and divinity. It's not to minimize the importance of good preaching, of course. And perhaps on that point, we should just take a moment to understand what is going on during the liturgy of the word, why we're here. When we're listening to the priest preach, when we're listening to the readings, the documents of the church tell us that God is present in our midst. I can tell you from experience as a priest and as a confessor for nearly 10 years that preaching can often lead to conversion. It's the person who says, "Father, that was for me." And there are 30 of them who say that from one homily. "Father, I've never met you, but you were speaking as if you were directing your entire homily to my life." Fair enough. Nevertheless, it's important for us to understand God's word, revelation, better than anything I could say or any priest could say. We're not listening to the word of God, or we shouldn't be listening to the word of God, merely to gather information. Like this is a class, or this is an educational opportunity. You might learn something, and that's good, but that really should be a side effect. Moreover, we shouldn't use the liturgy of the word just to get or to derive some sentimental feeling of God's goodness or his presence in our midst. You know, a lot of the gospel passages today, for example, don't exactly promote what we like to call the warm fuzzies. Be alert. Watch. He's coming. It's hardly the Christmas theme in a certain sense, at least by secular standards. So when we're listening to God's word, when we're reading the scriptures, I hope that you do this every day, starting today through Advent. Just take a little portion of each of the Gospels day by day until you get to the point where Jesus is about 12. It's not that much, just a little bit every day. When you're listening to God's word, when you're reading, when I'm preaching, what is really supposed to be happening to us is that we are opening ourselves up. We are disposing ourselves to God's transforming action. Ostensibly, we read the word of God or we hear it with a desire for conversion, because we know that we need to be nourished not only by the sacrament of the altar, but by the word of God itself. It's an opportunity each time we read God's word in faith to want to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. And this, of course, leads us to prayer. And you see at the end, that is why a life led in prayer is the boldest, most radical, most earth-shattering existence that anyone could have. A life led by prayer, believe it or not. Why? Because prayer, nourished by the word of God, does not allow us simply to be transformed or converted once in a lifetime, or maybe even twice in a lifetime, but being immersed in the word of God every day means the challenge is renewed again daily. There's nothing more disconcerting in someone's life than having the entire foundation of their existence pulled out from under them because the word of God has struck them in the heart. That is bold. That is radical. That is earth-shattering. A life without prayer is easy, but highly unsatisfying, because the human person, left to their own devices, will eventually concoct their own philosophy of what this is all about. But when you read the word of God in faith, and you open your heart and your mind to let God do the talking, amazing things will happen, I guarantee you. There isn't a single priest or religious alive today who could have possibly discerned their vocation to walk away from everything that they knew in their past life in order to embrace the gospel in its totality, to live in this radically witness of life for the people of God, had they not been struck to the heart with his word. And yet, as Italian grandmothers like to say, the best place to hide money in the home is in the pages of the Bible, because no one will ever look there. It's our book. The evangelists, St. Paul, they are Catholics. The Protestants put us to shame by their command and knowledge of the word, something that Catholics should own twice over any Protestant. And yet, we only limit our word experience to preaching, when the word of God, which is so ripe with so many spiritual jewels for our taking, gets left untaken, wasted. So, my exhortation to you in these days of Advent, and I already mentioned there are only 27 of them, is to immerse yourself in God's word deeply. Come to Mass every day if you can. Or make time to come to Mass every day. And I don't care where you go. The sacrament's the sacrament. The word is the word. But get yourself to Mass. It will allow you to not only receive the Eucharist, to be strengthened, when so much of the buzz around us is so directed to things so much not of Jesus, and to remain truly grounded in this Word of God becoming flesh. Going to daily Mass will force us to examine our conscience, to make a heartfelt confession. And just so that we don't come to December 24th in the evening, exhausted and just ready for it to all be done, that we will actually approach the 24th of December with anticipation and joy, because the word that we have immersed ourselves in, the presence of God made known to us as he reveals himself to us in the language of the scriptures, cause us to renew our awe and our wonderment at Christ's coming at Bethlehem, even now as we prepare for his second coming in glory, whenever that may be. Ask the Blessed Mother to assist you on this 27-day journey, a season of preparation and penance, so that Christmas will truly be truly wonderful in the eyes of Jesus, in the eyes of Our Lady, and in your heart. O Mary, conceived without sin,